Good morning. Wednesday, August 11th, 2021. Here we go with the Bipolar Bear Podcast. So, you may have noticed, or maybe not, that I was not around yesterday. I was feeling a little bit under the weather. Actually, so much so that I took the day off from work, or at least half the day. Yeah, I don't know what it's kind of weird. Like, I have had some kind of stomach thing going on where you ever feel like nauseous and you get like the puke sweats, but you don't actually throw up. So yeah, whatever that was, I had that yesterday. I hope that's not a sign of something else. I mean, I'm fully vaccinated, but from what I understand, that could be arbitrary or meaningless at this stage. So getting out and about a little bit more often than I had been in the past, doesn't seem unlikely that I might come into contact with some people that are infected or sick and don't really know it and are out bouncing around. And since nobody's really wearing masks anymore, we're all potentially at greater risk. Disappointing. So hopefully this is not COVID and I had a stomach bug and, you know, no big deal. I also had a weird nosebleed last night. I don't know. I think I've always had those in my life, but like I get sporadic nosebleeds out of nowhere. I'll just be sitting there and all of a sudden a little bit of blood will drip down my nose. I'm like, what the hell? Weird. But I've had that my whole life. So that, I don't think that has anything to do with it. But in any event, yeah, I'm pretty tired. My head is kind of ugh right now. Like I got one of those headaches that's behind your eyes. It's not really a migraine. You know, I'm not seeing any blind spots or anything like that. So there's no ocular or oral presentation. I feel like crap. Sorry. I know this might be a rough one to get through today, but I'm kind of disappointed that I missed yesterday, but I mean, truthfully, I laid in bed all day. I felt pretty crappy. So anyway, I don't know if I missed too much on the agenda. I mean, that was the bulk of my day yesterday was, I mean, you know, and to some degree in a positive light, I don't spend a whole lot of time doing like recreational activities and just leisure activities. So I think I watched like 3 movies on Netflix yesterday. So that's a big deal for me. I don't get to binge Netflix very often these days because I just don't have the time to do it. I've always got something that I'm like, yeah, I'll put this series on. And then I'm like, yeah, I don't have 2 days to waste. I have a lot of stuff going on. I have things that I need to get done that to me are just more important. So I go down that road and do those things. But there's something to be said for taking a break. So maybe I just ran myself down a little bit. I don't know. Who knows? But, you know, feeling queasy and nauseous all day is not really, that's a crappy feeling. At least for me. I mean, maybe I'm a big baby when I get sick. I don't know. Who knows? My wife tells me I am. I'm like, I can get the most mild symptoms of anything and I'm just totally incapacitated. So I don't know. Weird. I guess I was maybe 24-hour bug. Hopefully that's all it was. I'll keep you posted if anything changes there. Just other than that, talking to my daughter, who's out in, like I said, she's out in Florida. So that's, you know, she's having a good time out there. Hopefully staying safe and to some degree socially distant, because I know Florida is kind of a wide open wonderland out there, you know, to say the least, with regard to masks and social distancing and things like that. So, but I wanted to have fun, and it is the, you know, the height of the summer. So hopefully the sun is still doing its thing for COVID and preventing it from spreading too bad, even with whatever variant we're on now, if it's Delta or Theta, Gamma, Alpha, whatever. I'm not sure where we are in the alphabet of variants, but last I heard was Delta. So I'm still kind of struggling a little bit with these decisions that may or may not manifest themselves at some point today. I'm supposed to have a conversation with a potential employer later this afternoon, where I believe the intent of the meeting is to make an initial offer. So that's good. And I've been thinking a lot about that and, you know, just asking my son for a little advice here, because I think it's always good to get an objective opinion. But, you know, as I've said before, it's you know, I've definitely given it a try here at my current role, and it's been very difficult to maintain a sense of positivity when, you know, everything that we do here just seems to be predicated on lies and deceit. You know, we have a client meeting later today, and it's and we're just not prepared for it. And it's just a shame, because it's not something that was unknown. It's been a recurring thing. It's just everything here is procrastinated until the very last minute. And then all these links get sent around about, well, we should talk about this. Well, we should research this. It's like, dude, the thing is today. You want me to research AI and machine learning in the healthcare industry right now, so that I can speak intelligently about it in front of 30 people later this afternoon, as if I know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it's just, it's the things like that that just make me really question. It's like, you know, what am I doing? What am I a part of here? It's just all bullshit, you know? It's just not real. And, you know, as I've said before, if you're new to this whole podcast, you know, you'd have to go back and listen to some of the other episodes to get all the nitty gritty details on all this. But, you know, they're not interested in anything that I have to say. That much is clear. You know, they're replacing my position. It's already been posted. So if you want to be the, I think it's called the director now, you can come here and be a director. I would not suggest or recommend taking this position, because unless you're a clown like the people that are already here, you're going to have a difficult time, just like I did. So what they're trying to do is not what they actually want to do. They just want to have someone in position that just says whatever they want them to say, I guess. And it's been hard to digest that, because when I look at the other people that are on this leadership team that I used to be on, there are several people, and I don't mean this in a derogatory manner, but there are several people that contribute nothing. So why are they on this team? And somehow the contributions that we could argue that I brought to the table were all of the things that actually changed anything that was changeable in this company. Yet I'm no longer valuable and valid in this particular role. That's I keep kind of circling back to all these things. It's like, okay, I'll stay and I'll make the best of it and it'll be good. And then I think about what it is I'm doing, and I'm like, this is just such a joke. What am I doing this for? So I have a feeling that I don't know if in fact I'll even get an offer. That hasn't happened yet. So I'm speaking out of turn and to some degree on that. But if it were to happen, I think it would have to be a pretty lousy offer for me not to take it, even though it would mean a pretty decent commute for me, 5 days out of the week for the most part. I probably can talk to them a little bit about that, and maybe we can come to terms with, you know, some kind of a compromise there, just because it is a pretty far drive. But yeah, I mean, just to get out of this funk and get out of this negative, you know, environment, I guess. You know, and quite frankly, like, still, you know, people are still leaving the organization left and right. So it's I don't know what the plan is, but seems like we bring someone on and two people leave, and then we bring someone on and that person leaves. And, you know, I don't know. Again, I'm not really well versed in any of this stuff, because they don't communicate anything to people. So you don't really know, you know, like somebody's being hired on because they send out a welcome email, but you don't know that people have left. And I think that's a real shame, because, you know, some of these people have been here for, you know, 10 plus years. And now this is another thing that makes me feel that they just don't care about people. They think they do, and they think that people think they do. But they actually don't, because when these veterans leave, they just don't give them any respect at all. There's nothing, there wasn't even like a, hey, thanks for your service. We appreciate it. Wish you well on your next journey. And thanks for everything. Just silence, you know? So it's like bitterness and angst, you know? They're definitely not happy about it, I'm sure, but they don't care enough, or they don't have the maturity enough or the professionalism enough to really even know how to handle that properly and do the right thing. Because every time they do that, obviously people are going to find out that people are not here anymore. And then they're going to find out through the back channels rather than, like I've explained before, you know, even with what happened to me, if they had just embraced it the right way and said, you know, this is Garrett, we want to talk to you about this. This is what we think. This is what's right for the business. This is what we want to do. You know, is this something that you'd be interested in doing? Let's talk about it, you know, and then they just didn't do that. And they went ahead and did what they did, which was demote me. You know, they ultimatumed me. They said, oh, well, either take a position as an architect or, you know, thanks and we'll just part ways. And you can move on to something else, which, I mean, truthfully, right at that moment in my mind, I was done. You know, I'm giving it, like I said, I'm giving it my best effort. But now that everybody's gone and this whole thing falls on my shoulders, I mean, why would I step up for these people? they're just not worth it. None of this is worth it. I don't care how much they're paying me or could pay me or would pay me. It has nothing to do with that. It's the fact that they've treated people so poorly. There's no real incentive. There's no motivation. There's no, I don't know. There's just no commitment to feeling as if there's a need for me to try. I mean, they didn't try. Why should I? You know, if you don't lead by example, I think you'll often find that you'll end up in the predicament that you're trying to abolish in many ways. And that, you know, I'm sure they don't want that, but they're creating it by their own behavior. You know, and look, I'm getting into ridiculous detail about something that's completely trivial and who gives a shit about the job that I have. But in my own mind, I'm trying to make sense of this because, as I've said many times, I go back and listen to these to try to make sense of the things that I've said when I'm saying them out loud so that I can kind of better digest and have like a sounding board, because I don't really have a lot of people or any people in my life to talk to about things like this. So I kind of have to talk to myself. And what I found works best for me is to actually record what I'm saying and then go back and listen to it. And that's the evolution of this entire podcast, is that it's all I'm doing is really just shooting my mouth off, thinking out loud, doing some brainstorming, and then I go back and listen to it. And it helps me, you know, make better decisions after hearing the truth come from myself. It may not be true from other people, but it's the truth for me. So, and that's the important takeaway for this for me, is that, you know, if I'm saying these things, this is genuinely how I feel about these circumstances and these situations. I feel as if I've been betrayed and, you know, mistreated and belittled, and quite frankly, that these are just the wrong decisions that have been made. Not only has it affected me personally and professionally, but it's impacted the organization as a whole, because they no longer have someone in position like me that's going to help lead them down this road. And I guess you could argue that they never were listening to me, really. I had to fight tooth and nail for, you know, as I mentioned earlier, every change that took place here, I had to fight hard for it. Like, and I mean, arguing and, you know, sometimes raising my voice and really overspeaking people, because they needed to be pushed over the edge, kind of a thing. They just couldn't see it on their own, and there was no other way to do it. And I think that probably attributed a lot to the fact that they didn't want to give me that much control and have a person like me that's not docile and tame in a position of power in this organization, because the people above me don't know what the heck I'm talking about. And that's, again, fundamentally one of the problems, is that this is a technology company that doesn't know technology. They know business. And I would argue they don't even know business very well. They're just good talkers, right? They're good shit slingers. They promise an awful lot and deliver a very little at this point, you know, and it sounds great and it sounds wonderful and yeah, we're going to do it and we got all the staff, but behind the scenes, it's all bullshit. Like if they were to go and find a new AWS client right now and portray that we have the staff to be able to support another client, it's absolutely and unequivocally incorrect. And it's a lie. There is one person here, me, that can do this stuff. And nearly all of my time is spent right now trying to get up to speed on the one existing customer we have and their complex environment that's been built over the last decade or so. So do I have time to work with a new client and give them, you know, 100% of my attention and focus and get things done? Absolutely not. It's total bullshit. So it's like I said, everything is predicated on lies. You know, and I understand in business you have to portray, you know, a certain type of strength and things like that, but you can't lie. At least I don't, you know, I personally and professionally don't believe in that. I don't know that you need to tell the client that, well, we only have one person, so we're not going to be able to do this. I'm not saying you say it like that, but you can't walk into, opportunities portraying yourself as this big, strong, yeah, we got all these people here and we're ready to go when half your company just left in the last 2 months. Yeah, at least on the technical side. You know, we've had a lot of people, I think only one was not by choice, but we've had a lot of people leave. So one person, I think, was let go. But other than that, there's been, let's see, one, two, three people. So my team is literally one person now. If I was still in the position that I was in, my team would be one guy outside of myself. So he's still here. But the other three people, four people on my team since I've been here have left for other opportunities. Now, I guess you could say that, you know, that I had something to do with that. But what I had to do with that was that I was foolishly telling and rolling out things to people that were being blocked on the back end. So we would have a discussion. Yeah, we're going to do this and let's start adopting DevOps and Agile and Scrum. And then when we go to try to do it, other people would block it and we weren't able to do it. So it became these futile attempts and then they just failed. And, you know, whether people believe this or not, or we're just being nice, you know, they never said it was my fault. And then, you know, my team members never blamed me. They said, hey, this is just how it is here. It's been like this since as long as I've been here. And good luck trying to change it. And, you know, they were right, because good luck trying to change it. I failed. I wasn't able to make these changes. They just removed me from the position, so I no longer have any kind of say in anything. I just, work on whatever I feel like working on each day and get scrutinized every week for whatever it was that I did. Even though no one's really called out, no one's given any direction, I have no goals, I have no nothing, I'm still somehow accountable for billable hours to a client that I have no control over how much work comes in because it's purely ticket-based. So I guess I'm supposed to call them up and, or maybe I should go start breaking their stuff on purpose so we can get tickets in so I have something to do. So it's kind of a conundrum, word of the day, in the sense that, you know, we all get comfortable. Like as much as I'm complaining about this, you know, I'm working from home. That's pretty cool. You know, I do like working from home. It affords me a lot of opportunities. I did the calculations the other day with regard to drive, not time, but cost. So if it costs me $40 in gas, because I have a hybrid car, so 40 miles of every trip in my car is purely electric. So I save, you know, that's 1.5 ways of my commute. So it's the full way there and about half the way back would be electric. If I had somewhere to plug the thing in when I was at work, it would be 100% electric. So the point is I was looking at like, okay, well, how much is this going to cost me in gas? So if I drive, I think it's like, I don't know, if I put $40 in gas in my car every week for 52 weeks, it's like $2,000 or, you know, something like that. Some round number that I did. And I'm like, well, you know, so that's, when you look at it like that, it's not like that's a deal breaker where it's like, I'm spending so much on gas that I can't do this. That's not really the case. I'm not thrilled about the time. and having to be in an office, because, you know, frankly, I just like being at home. I'm kind of a homebody, and I like to just work at my own pace at home and wear what I feel like wearing and not have to worry about other people looking over my shoulder and all that kind of stuff. But I think, again, this would be a role where I'm an executive, so I can hopefully do whatever I feel like doing in the sense of the business. But it would take away some of the luxuries. Like, for example, when I do this podcast, would obviously have to be outside of business hours. I do these mostly on my lunches. You know, when I take a lunch, I don't really go anywhere and I don't often have an hour's full of lunch. So most of these podcasts are done during my lunch, which would not be something I could do if I'm in an office, because I don't have all my gear, my personal gear, in the office with me. So there's that give and take. And then there's the creativity side of it, where it's like, you know, if I feel like picking up a horn and just blowing out a few notes for 5 or 10 minutes, I can do that. Whereas in an office, I give that up too. So that's really what I'm struggling most with, is that coupled with the fact that I'm pretty sure this place is going to fire me at some point anyway. And I mean, I know this probably sounds horrible, but I'm almost wondering how bad it would be if I got fired and I went on unemployment and we got health insurance through the state and things like that. And I just let it ride for a while and took a fucking break. I mean, I am just so spent and burned out. And for what? I mean, so you can get an idea of how my mind works. This is the way I think. What if, and this is why conspiracy theories and the lack of true data has really been bothering me this whole time, is that what if, having taken the vaccine, these things are really true, that you're going to get sick and you're going to die because of the vaccine, because of side effects of the vaccine. You'll have like myocarditis or inflammation of the lungs or the brain or any number of things that they've cited. And look, I'm just calling this out. I don't know that any of this is true. I'm not on the bandwagon. I'm just proposing or supposing that, let's say it is. And here I am making a decision where I'm going to take myself away from the things that I love to do to go do something that I just need to do because I need to make money. That is like the ultimate conundrum for me. Again, word of the day. I'm really sincerely struggling with that. I don't want to waste my time. What if I don't have that much time left? That's how my mind works. You know, if I'm doing something I don't like the majority of the time that I'm awake and conscious, then why am I doing that? You know, at this point in my life or at this stage of the game, I feel like every day that I wake up is truly a blessing. I may not treat it that way, but I recognize that it is a reality. I am at the waning part of my life, right? I'm 49 years old, and I have had 4 open heart surgeries. I have a fatty liver, so my liver is starting to fall apart, and that's inevitable, right? That's one of those things that will just eventually, I may actually die from that, you know, over a period of time. And no one knows really how long you have for things like that. So do I want to spend my life doing the things that I want to do and that I feel are the best and around the most important people in my life as often as I can be, like I am right now, but have to deal with nonsense like I'm dealing with at the current position that I have? Or do I want to leave this position because I hate these people and don't want to work for them and go do something else, but give up all the other stuff? So that's kind of where I'm at right now. And unfortunately, I'm still stinging a little bit from this whole experience where I want to tell these people, fuck you, I quit. You know, and that's an emotional decision, and that's oftentimes not the right decision. Man, I just, you know, this is, I've said this so many times, but I so wish that there was, I know this sounds pathetic to say it this way, but I wish there was one of these side hustles that I do that would be enough to maintain my lifestyle, even at a fraction of what it is now. If I could make 50 grand a year doing all these things, that would be enough. That would be enough for me to just do the things that I'm doing here. Podcasting, book narration, songwriting. But I can't do it. I can't do it. Sorry, I keep hiccuping there. If you hear those weird jumps that in when I'm talking, it's a hiccup. And I'm just too lazy to edit them out. But yeah, well, maybe that's why my podcast isn't successful, because I'm not putting in enough effort to make it better. Or just my life is just plain boring and no one really gives a shit about anything that I'm saying but me. I'm a very real person in that way. And I think you'll notice this if you ever listen to any of my episodes or follow this at all. It's very transparent in that way. Like, I call myself out on all the bullshit that I call everybody else out on. And, you know, if you don't get this about me, I call myself out first. I'm always thinking, it's like, okay, yeah, Garrett, you're just whining. Stop complaining. You're being a baby. You know, you're not trying. This isn't what it is. Stop being so silly. But you know, I hold myself to that standard, and that's kind of how I interact with people in general. And it doesn't work that well. I'll be honest. I don't think very many people like how I deal with things or like being around me, or, you know, and I think that's evidenced by the fact that I don't have any friends really. I mean, I got one guy that lives down the street, and he's just a super nice guy. And I would absolutely consider him a friend. So I shouldn't say that. I do have one. Sorry, needed a little drinky poo there. Right, Mr. Leahy? R.I.P. Anyway. Yeah, so, I mean, I shouldn't say that I have no friends. I just, I don't have a lot. And I guess it's not the quantity, it's the quality. You know, and this guy is a great guy. So that's, you know, I'm very fortunate. But, you know, again, it's always like an afterthought. Like, I don't reach out very often and be like, hey man, let's go hang out or let's do something. It's like, you know, I was walking around the neighborhood the other day and just trying to get some exercise in, and they live on my neighborhood's a big ellipse. And then it has a center section that has a whole bunch of houses too. So I kind of took the shorter route of the walk, which goes through the center. And they happened to be outside, so I ended up stopping and talking with him, he and his wife, for like an hour. And it was great, you know, nice to hear. But, you know, we haven't really, they have four children, and they start at 18 and younger. So they've got like two or three real young kids. So it is a little bit harder to do things because, you know, my wife and I, our children are older. They can just be on their own and that kind of stuff. So it's a little more. They have a little bit more work ahead of them still. But nevertheless, you know, it's really nice to see these people when I do see them. So I do have that, and he's really good with cars. So that's always been really awesome. He's been able to do some like brake jobs and some things like that. He's a really cool guy and really smart and a really hard worker. Anyway, yeah, little tangent there. So yeah, I mean, I do have some people in my life. I don't mean it that way. I just mean that my personality is a lot to take. Even, you know, I'm aware of it, right? And I'm still not able to really, not fix it, I guess, but just amend it and augment it into a way that's just better received by people. And I kind of struggle with that as well, because on one hand, it's like, well, this is who I am, right? So maybe if I'm not finding people that like me for me, then they're just the wrong people. Or it could be that this isn't really the real me. This is just the asshole that I've become over the years. And I need to improve on myself and get back to being a higher quality person. I'd like to think that at least some of that's true, because it's not, then I'm kind of stuck with what I've got here. And that's seemingly disappointing, because it doesn't feel as if I would be able to improve, right? If I'm just going to say, well, if take me as I am and I'm a total asshole, then who's going to want that? probably not very spiritually uplifting or positive people, right? If they want to be around someone that's a tyrant and not very nice and just, you know, just, I don't know, however it is that I act that's unappealing to people. Seems like everything starts out good. Like, I think upon first meeting of me, people are very excited and impressed, and it's fun and great. But I think over time, I must wear it down because it's just, maybe it's too much energy or too much of whatever that something is, that they just don't want to deal with it every single time they see me. And I'm, you know, to my own discredit, I'm not always thinking with emotional intelligence and saying, okay, well, who am I with? All right, I need to act this way and try to tone it down a little bit because they don't like it when I get all crazy and, you know, start talking about things like technology or conspiracy theories or politics. You know, I mean, it depends on very much who you're speaking with, who, you know, how things are going to be taken. Especially if people are physically intimidated by you, they're just going to sit there and take it, even though they don't want to. They're not enjoying it. I mean, I keep seeing these TikToks that are like, you want to know who your real friends are? Stop talking to people and then see who calls you. And, you know, to that point, this guy that I just mentioned is that guy. He's always the one that will reach out after a while and be like, hey, man, how you doing? Or, hey, man, happy Father's Day. Or, you know, just happy birthday, you know, like not on social media, in text. So, you know, it's real. It's not like Facebook reminded me to wish you a happy birthday. So, hey, happy birthday, Garrett. Now, that's nice too. I mean, because you can still just ignore that crap. But at the same time, you know, he's sending me a text message. So, you know, that's pretty cool. On that note, I should just reach out and say, hey, how's it going? Hope you guys are doing well. We'll have to get together at some point before the summer ends, hopefully. That would be nice. Go out for dinner, maybe something. I don't know. Yeah, we'll try to figure it out. But another thing popped up in our lives. Like, so we used to have a this core group of friends, my wife and I. And I guess they were more acquaintances than friends. We just did a lot of stuff with them because our kids, namely our son, played sports with everybody. So these guys were all the same age. They were always on the same baseball team. They rode bikes together. They were a pretty tight-knit crew of friends as kids, you know, like 10 to 15, maybe, age-wise. And maybe earlier, maybe like 7 or 8 to 15, because it was like, I think we met all these people in T-ball, maybe, yeah, with our son. So it was probably pretty early on. And interestingly enough, one of the couples actually graduated from the same high school I did a year and 2 years before me. So we had a lot in common in that regard, although we didn't really know each other really in high school. And then the other two couples were just, you know, two other couples that were already friends with these people that we knew, or that I knew from high school. And so it was like this foursome of couples, and we did all kinds of fun stuff. We got a limo, we'd go out and go to hit the town, or, you know, one of them always had a Halloween party that was fun. You know, we always had a 4th of July party at our house that was fun, and everybody came, you know, so we always had these things going on. They got to know our families, you know, it was a pretty good deal. And then things kind of went sideways. Well, they did a couple times, because my wife and I were never really in the crew. We kind of showed up late to the party, so to speak. So the other three families were much closer and had already been doing stuff together for a long time. And then we got added to that, which was great. But we were never really as close as the rest of them. But my wife said that we were most recently invited to a Halloween party with all these, you know, that they had this annual Halloween party that they have. And, you know, it's been like, feels like 5-6 years since we've really done or seen any of these people, done anything with or seen any of these people. We had a bit of a falling out when some of the people in our family died. It's a really long story. Maybe I'll get into it some other time, but just suffice it to say, we had a falling out and we haven't talked to him in a number of years at all. Well, at least I haven't. I don't know if my wife does, but I haven't. And, you know, now all the kids are grown, you know, our sons, all the boys are 21 and they're all men now. So nobody really is even, they don't hang out. They don't, none of that's the same anymore. So, but anyway, we got an invite, I guess an informal kind of invite to the annual Halloween party. And it was kind of like, you know, as I think about all the crap that goes on in life and all the things that I say and do, it's like, is it really worth taking stands on things like this that are so trivial and arbitrary that you just miss out on good opportunities and fun times? I mean, you know, now I'm going to argue that the things that were done that caused this rift were fairly significant. It wasn't minor stuff. It wasn't petty. It was kind of big. And if I ever get to explain it to you, you may agree. But that said, I mean, you know, what's the phrase? Let bygones be bygones. You know, whatever that means. To me, it means just move on, you know, and if someone reaches out, maybe it's time to reach back. So maybe in your life, you're going through something like that and you're not entirely sure what to do. And, you know, my advice or my opinion is be open-minded to stuff like that because, you know, as I'm calling this crap out for work and what's important in my life and what I think I should be spending my time doing, you know, none of us really know how long we're going to be here. And I don't want this episode to be about death, but more about opportunity. You don't know, right? And it would just really be a shame to leave unfinished business and things undone and unsaid over petty, you know, pettiness, I guess. It's just, it seems like maybe it's the right time to move forward again with this and we'll see where it goes. I mean, that said, some of our other closer friends, apparently one of their kids said some really nasty things about our daughter. My one daughter's gay and, you know, some very derogatory and hurtful things. And it was shocking to say the least. I mean, it was like, wow, really? Why would she say that? We've known you for like your entire life. So you just never know, man. And, you know, again, that we've had a lot of like weird. So I guess what I'm saying is that not everything is my fault. If I'm saying anything at all here today, I'm saying that not everything is my fault. I don't think that, you know, I had any role in that. I don't think that I had contributed to someone's bigotry or someone's child's bigotry, I guess. I mean, it's not on me. That's on the parents. If that's, you know, the common theme in the household is that you feel that way about the LGBTQ community. I don't know what to tell you. I have a daughter that's in that community. So that's offensive and hurtful to us if she were to have said that. So, you know, of course, you know, it was brought up and then it was, oh, my daughter would never say that and blah, blah, blah. And then everybody blocks everybody on social media. So we're all such adults these days, right? It's just, let's not get together and talk about it. Let's just block everybody on social media. I guess that's how you talk and deal with things these days is you just say your piece on social media. Oh, what a mess. What a mess. Anyway. Let's get on to a poem today, shall we? We're almost at 45 minutes here. We're getting to the nitty gritty of it. Oh, this one looks like it might be a long one. Let's see. Is it one page or two pages? What do we got? Nope, just one page. Okay, this one's called Brick Wall. And this is, of course, as always, taken from Poetic Rhetoric, Nonsensical Blasphemy by Garrett M. Conklin, published in 2016 by Bifocal Publishing. Anyway, all right, brick wall. The wall has a curve not unlike a wave. The brick lay still in its uncovered grave. Forever in ruin, society's slave, never undoing, stand tall and be brave. The edge was so ragged, the lines once straight, now jagged. The sky was alive with the soot. They also lay heavily underfoot. What was once a life's work was now relegated to a wrecking ball quirk. Not trying to be an insensitive jerk, but a homeless shelter soon here will lurk. The door up on top, once open to your mind, once an escape from danger you may find, is now but a portal from one place to ground, which cannot be seen from either side nor be found. It once was so mighty, so strong and so clean, not this disaster, this wreckage, this overwrought queen, as if to say something out loud would have made her uncrumble and somehow be proud. But today is a day when something new will be erected from this building that is clearly infected and rejected. It will die in the sky with a dust-filled cloud, so loud you will choke on the smoke and the diesel while it's plowed. Now lays a plain in perpetual refrain that once was unslain, now in total disdain. I cannot help but think of the feeling of this crane from hurling that ball, destroying it all, totally insane. Okay, well, I'm not sure what that was all about and where that one left us. I'll leave that one to your imagination because I think that was just another one of those. If you're not getting what I'm doing here, I wrote a book of poetry a while back, and just at the end of every episode, I'm reading one of the poems because, you know, I sold like three of the books, so I thought it'd be interesting to read them out loud and listen back and see what I think about them when I'm listening to the podcast. Anyway, on that, I hope you guys have a nice Wednesday. Apologies that I didn't send anything out yesterday to you, but I'm sure you'll be fine. And with that, I'll talk to you soon. Bye.